Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shir Madaf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now at the beginning of the sixth parak of Masechet Shvuot and Daf Lamed Chet Amud Bet. And here we have something of a mix of the editorial style that we've had during the Masechet. We don't have the entire chapter of Mishnayot presented at the beginning, but a bulk of it. The first four Mishnayot are all presented together. And in a normal style that we would take would be only to study those Mishnayot which are going to be covered during this piece of Gemara that we will study. But we're going to cover all four Mishnayot, and then a relatively lengthy piece in the Gemara, which is chiefly agadic in nature, as it touches upon the significance of a Shvuah, and the dangers involved in misusing a Shvuah, and the warnings given to anybody taking a Shvuah by the Beit Din. Shvuat HaDayanim. And Shvuat HaDayanim chiefly, and as I noted in the introduction on the handout, this is an oath that's given not by, not initiated by an individual or by a claimant to an individual, by the Beit Din, as the name indicates, Shvuat HaDayanim. And the classic case is, of course, in Modeh V'Miktzat, when a claimant, it's only in a civil suit, by the way, when a claimant indicates that something is owed him, and the defendant admits to part of the debt. And just as a reminder, we have a classic explanation of Rabbah, which we'll get to a little later in the parak, or quite a bit later in the parak, which is that the reason the Torah put an oath on Modeh V'Miktzat is because we have a chazakah, an assumption, that nobody is able to look at their creditor bald-faced and lie and say, I don't owe you anything. And so really, our concern is that he knows that he owes the whole amount. And why is he only admitting to part? Because he doesn't have all the money. And he's rationalizing to himself that, well, I'll admit to part, and then when I get the rest of the money, I'll pay it back. So therefore, the Torah imposed a shvuah on him to make sure that he admitted to all of it, and I believe the reason for that concern is, once he sees that he got away with the admission of only a partial debt, he may then skip out on the rest, and so in order to make sure that doesn't happen, we impose the oath. In any case, that's the sort of background to it. We will see that presentation explicitly a little later on in the parak, but for right now, Shvuat HaDayanim, Hata'ana Shtei Kesef, the minimum claim has to be a claim of two ma'ah of kesef. V'hoda'a b'shaveh pruta, and the admission has to be at least an admission of a pruta. See a very famous machloket Rav and Shmuel, but not in this podcast, about the differential here. If the admission is not responding to the claim, patur. Now let's see examples. Ketzad. If he says, shtei kesef li biyadcha, ein lecha biyadiyah l'pruta, and the fellow admits, I only have a pruta. Remember, kesef is silver and pruta is copper, patur. I don't want to go further into that because Rav and Shmuel will disagree about what this means. Shtei kesef u'pruta li biyadcha, but if he says, I have a debt that you owe me, shtei kesef and a pruta, in the Chabidiyah L'Pruta, the guy admits to the Pruta, Chayav, then he's Chayav, because he's admitted to part of the debt. Maneli Biyadcha, if he says, I have 100. In the Chabidiyadi, he says, you have nothing. I don't owe you anything. Patur. But Maneli Biyadcha, in the Chabidiyadi L'Chameshim Dinar, but if he says, I have 50, meaning you owe me 100. No, I only owe you 50. Chayav, that's classic Modeh V'Miktzat. Manela Abba Biyadcha, if you come to me and say, that my father lent you money, and now he's not around, and he says, Ein lecha biyadi ela 50 dinar, and the son really doesn't have any other proof to this debt, and the debtor says, I really do owe you 50, or I owed your father 50, patur, he doesn't have to take the oath. Why? Neshuk meshiv aveda. Because he is like a meshiv aveda, like he's returning something that's lost, because the son has no recourse to get anything from him. We'll see why a little later in the Gemara. But as a result, this fellow's admission of 50, he could have denied everything. Maneli biyadcha amar lo hein. Now watch this. A fellow says to another fellow, you owe me 100. He says, yeah, in front of Edim. L'machar amar lo tnei uli. And the next day he comes up to him and says, give me the money you admitted you owe me. If the fellow says, netativ lach, I paid you back, then patur. And we'll go into that in depth. But ein lecha biyadi, but if he denies the debt, chayav. Because he already admitted in front of Edim that he has such a debt. Maneli biyadcha, amar lo hein. And then he says, "Al tineuli ela be'edim." The guy says, "Okay, I'm going to ask you to pay me back. Pay me back in front of Edim." The machar marlo tineuli. The next day he says, "Give it to me." Netativ lach, and he says, "I paid you." Chayav. In that case, he's chayav. Why? Meish tzarich litno be'edim. Because his claim is, "I paid you back privately." He said, "That's not a good payback." Now, litra zahav yesh to biadcha. If the claimant says, "You have a litra of gold," it's a weight. In the chabiyadi a litra kesef. The guy says, "No, I have that same weight, but it's kesef." Patur. Because he didn't admit to anything that was claimed. But dinar zahav yesh to biadcha. Dinar is a coin. In the chabiyadi a dinar kesef, or trisit, or pundiot, or pruta, silver, or copper coins, any other kind of coins, chayav. Why? Shakom min matpeh achat. Coins are coins. It's currency. He's claiming currency. He wants, and he admitted to some lesser amount of currency. We then have to set that in opposition against the piece we saw in Mishnah Aleph about Kesef versus Pruta. We'll see how that plays out. Kur tfua yesh li biadcha. Kur is 30 sa'ah. You have 30 sa'ah of grain of mine. In the chabiyadi letach kitnit, I have 15 sa'ah. Letach is half a kur of kitnit, of legumes, patur. Because legumes are not connected to grain. But kur perot li biadcha, if he uses the word perot, which is a much more generic term, Ein lechabiyadi letach kitnit, same admission. Chayav, why sha kitnit michlal perot? Kitnit are considered to be a subset of, are included in perot. Now, ta'anoch chitin. If the guy claims you owe me wheat, vodalo b'sorin, and he admits to owing barley, is that considered the same species because it's grain or not? Patur. Rabban Gamliel, mechayev. Good. Hato'en lechaviro b'chadeh shemen. Let's say he says, "You owe me 50 barrels of oil." Vodalo b'kan kanim. And the fellow says, "I agree, I owe you barrels. Empty barrels." Admon omer ho'il vodalo miksat minatana yisheva. Admon says, "You have to take the shvua because you admitted to some part of the claim, even though the main claim was oil, not barrels." Chamomrim ena dala miminatana. They say, "No, the admission has nothing to do with the claim. The claim's for oil, the admission's of barrels." Mangamliel Rani at Divrei Admon. So Mangamliel, not surprisingly from what he said earlier about wheat and barley, says, "I support Admon's psak." Tano kelim karka oath. Now we have to remember the rule. We do not take an oath on karka. So if the claim was for kelim and karka, vohoda b'kelim b'kafar b'karka oath, he admitted, "I owe you all the kelim, and I deny any debt of the karka oath, or b'karka oath b'kafar b'kelim, or the flip, patur." Why? Because either he's admitted to all the kelim and then the only denials about karka, or vice versa, and notice karka and kelim are two separate things. But hodam miksata karka ot patur. If he admits to part of the karka ot, but denies all of the kelim, he's still patur, because there's no bodu miksat on karka. Miksata kelim chayav, but if he admits to part of the debt for kelim is chayav, and chayav means he has to take an oath on everything, including the karka. Why? Shanachasim she'ein lehen achrayut. That's metaltalin. Zokakim atachisim she'eish lehen achrayut l'shava lehen. They can drag in karka to take a shvua on it. So this is a form of gilgul shvua. You have to take the shvua on the kelim, then the karka gets dragged in. Ein nishbayin al tanat. This is the fourth mishnah. Ein nishbayin al tanat chereish shotuv katan. If a halachic incompetent, a cheresh shotuv katan, comes to Beit Din with a claim, we don't make the defendant take a shvua based on that. Vein mashbiin at a katan. We also don't issue or administer an oath to a katan. Aval nishbayin la katan v'la hektish. We have to see what that means. We do take an oath to the katan, which sounds like the opposite of what we just said a minute ago, and also for hektish. We'll have to see what that means also. Okay. Now, the Gemara is going to go on a very significant tangent about the nature of shvuot. First of all, hechi mashbi'in and lei. What is the oath we administer? Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, mashbi'in oto b'shvua shamura b'Torah. We use the oath that's in the Torah, dichtiv, when Avram says to his slave, "Go get me a wife for Yitzchak, v'ashbi'acha b'adonai Elohei HaShemayim." Some other Ravina Lavashi, come on, who does that accord with? K'v'chanina bar Idi, the Amar Ba'in of Shem Yuchad, he says an oath, remember we saw in the last parak, needs Shem HaShem? Amar le'afidu tem rabbana. No, it doesn't have to be v'ashem Elokei HaShemayim. It could be another name, the Amar Mechinui. V'nafkamina, what was it that Rab was trying to teach? Tzarich latfuse cheftza biyadeh. You have to hold a cheftza, meaning a Sefer Torah or some other cheftza shel kedush in your hands, just like Avram's slave held him underneath at the place of the one mitzvah that he had, which is Mila. Uchad Rava d'Amar Rava, Hai Dayana, da'ashpa v'Hashem Elokei HaShemayim, of a Dayan administers an oath using Shem HaShem, but only without Nikitat Chayfetz, without the fellow taking the oath holding a Chayfetz, Nasa Kemisha Tabidvar Mishnah v'Chozer. If you recall this from the fourth parak in Sanhedrin, Toa B'dvar Mishnah means he made a fundamental mistake in matter of law. The whole judgment is out. It's so basic that you have Nikitat Chayfetz. V'yamar Papa, he added, Hi, Dayana, the Ashpa B'tfilin. If he asked somebody to hold on to Tfilin, Nasaka Mishita B'dvar Mishnah B'chose, that also is annulled. But Hilchata Kavate Rava, we do Paskin like Rava, but late Hilchata Kavate Rav Papa, why? Hilchata Kavate Rava, the Halona Kit Chayfetz B'yadei. In Rava's case that he said, the judgment is faulty, because the guy didn't have anything in his hand. But later, we do not rule like our papa. Why? Because the guy's holding tefillin. It's not ideal, but it works. Now, why is it that tefillin and Sefer Torah work? Because they have Shem Hashem b'kedusha. Parenthetically, we'll see a piece about that. Shvua mi'umad. Normally, the person taking the shvua has to stand. Tamid chacham yushav. But if he's a tamid chacham, he can sit down. Shvua b'sefer Torah. The shvua he has to hold the Sefer Torah. If he's a tamid chacham, b'chatchila b'tefillin. Ideally, we have him take tefillin because we trust him more, and normally a person doesn't really recognize the kedusha of tefillin, and therefore they might lie holding tefillin, so we give him a sefer Torah to make it more serious. Tamid Chacham understands the significance of it, and we assume he will not lie in that case either. Tanu Rabbanan. Shvat Dayanin, how does that work? Afi bil shonon emra. It's said in its language. What does that mean? Omrim lo, the whole world shook when God said the third Dibra, do not take my name in vain. This is what you tell somebody before taking Yeshua. Every other sin, it says God will cleanse you and atone. It says, look at the Pasuk, God will not cleanse for Shavuot Shabbat. In every other sin, if you violate it, you get punished. Here you get punished, and so does your family. Don't allow your mouth to hurt your flesh. What's your flesh? Your flesh means your kin, your family. And so therefore, if you open your mouth and say the wrong things, your family is going to suffer. That's the Shavuot Shabbat. This is still the warning. You suffer. So it expands it further. Not just your family, the whole world suffers. Shemar alo v'kachesh, Pasuk in Hosea, that describes lying and false oaths and murder and adultery, and the world's going crazy. Wait a second, maybe, and that Pasuk in Hosea, this is a parenthetic interjection in the Braita. Maybe the Pasuk in Hosea means you have to do all those things to destroy the world. So, lo sakadai techtechtiv, imnei Allah of la'aretz. The Pasuk in Yirmiyahu says the world is desolate because of Allah, because of an oath. Uchtiv al kain tev al la'aretz. And in Hosea, picking up on that same Pasuk, it says, therefore the land is mourning. Vumlal kol yoshev ba'in. Everybody there is desolate and weeping. All right, continuing on, back to the bright. V'chol avirot shebetorah, im yesh lo zchut tolin lo shtayim shlosha dorot. Every other avirah, if you have some sort of a schut, you get a break for a couple dorot. V'kani fren min al altar, here you get it right away. Shenemar, in that very strange vision of Zechariah on the 24th of Shvat, that occupies most of the beginning of Sefer Zechariah, says Otzetia, this is the woman in the basket that's in his vision that's going out of Yerushalayim. She is the evil. Otzetia ne'um Adonai tzva'otu v'al, beit ha'ganav v'al beit ha'nishba b'shmi la'shaker v'lanev betoch beito v'chilatu v'et etza v'et avanav. She's going to go to the house of the one who lies using my name and stay in his house and destroy the whole house. Hotzeitia, what does that mean? La altar, meaning she goes out right away. Huval beta ganav, what's that ganav? Agonev da tabriot, somebody who fools people by lying. The other guy doesn't owe him any money. He comes and makes a claim, you owe me money, makes him take an oath, and it's a false oath. V'el beta nishban lishina shakir kamashmao. Literally, somebody who takes an oath in vain. Or false oath. V'lanev etoch beitoch la'tov edetz avatav. It destroys the house, even the stones. Halamata dvarim she'en eshem ayim machalin otan. Things that water and fire can't destroy. Stones, shvat shekem machalin otan. But a false oath can destroy. That's all the warning of the Beit Din, except for that interjection that we had about the Pasuk in Hosea. So ima marini nishpa, if the guy's response is, I'm not going to take an oath. Potrino tomiyad, we let him go. And then he has to pay, whatever. V'im amar harein nishba, but he says, I'm going to take the oath. Ha'amdin sham omrim zel azeh, the people in the Beit Din say, suru na mi'alu alein Hashem ha'sheim ha'elev al tisavu b'chol chatotam. They recite the pasuk that Moshe said to Bnei Yisrael about Korach, get away quickly before the earth opens up. Uch shemash pi'in oto, And then the idea there is, of course, that everybody around is kind of the lightning bolt might hit. And when they issue the oath, this we saw earlier, you should know that we're not doing this based on the way you understand words. Ella al dat hamakom ve al dat beitin, based on Hashem's dat and beitin's dat. Shekein matzinu Moshe Rabbeinu, and they say, this is what Moshe Rabbeinu did. Shishpiat Yisrael amar lehen tu'u shel al dat chem, and yishpiat chem al dat hamakom ve al dati, shenemar velo yitchem levad chem, anuchi kore rezor, ki et asher yishto po. Right, it's not only with you, it's also with whoever's here and whoever is not here, not yet here. They're all included in the Brit. So all I know is the people at Har Sinai. How do I know that anybody who joins the Jewish people or is born later is included? Anyone who is even not here today. I only know that that applies to a mitzvah that accepted Har Sinai. What if new mitzvot come up? How do I know that they're even bound by the oath for that? So Mikra Megillah, it says Kimu Mashikiblu Kvar. They confirmed what they had already accepted. They added Megillah to the canon of mitzvot. Now, that's the Braita, and that describes the warning to the fellow who's going to take an oath, the reaction of the people around if he doesn't or does take the oath, and then before he takes the oath, how they warn him that it includes everybody, and they bring the model from Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, back to analysis. My afi bilshona nemra. The shuat adayinim, it says bilshona nemra. What does that mean? It's bouncing off of Mishnah and Sota, Perek Zayin Mishnah Aleph. Kedinan, Elu Nemarin B'chol Lashon. The following are said in any language. Right? Parshat, Sota, Vidui Maaser, Kriyat Shema, Tfila, Berchat Amazon, Shuat Ha'edut, Shuat Ha'pikadon, O, V'kamer Nami, Shuat Ha'dayanim, Afi B'lshona Nemra. It's also said in any language, not just in Lashon HaKodesh. Amar Mar, Omrim Lo, Heve Yodesh, Kol Olam Kulon, Yisdazer, B'shah Shema HaKodesh Baruch, Lizad Shem Adonai, Yodachal Hashav. So, part of the warning is you should know the whole world shook when Hashem said that dibra. My time, if it's because it was given at Sinai, I said he brought Namid Yaiv. All 10 statements were said at Sinai. Mishum the Chamir must because it's so Chamur. Umi Chamira. You can't say that Shem, Nesiat Shem Hashem Lashav is the most serious crime. But non Elohim Kalot, when we talk about Kalot v'chamurot, Asay Velot Asay, this is in the first parak of Shvuot. Asay velot asay chutz mi lo tisa. What are the light mitzvot? And we talk about seri mishtaleach, what it covers. That's all asays and lot asays, except for lo tisa. Chamurot zu kritor mitot beitin velo tisa imahen. So lo tisa is not more severe, it's up there with chiyuv mitot beitin. So what's so serious? Why'd the world shake? It's because of the next line in the Braita. Every other sin it says, God will forgive you. Chanemar lo inakeh. Doesn't it say lo yinakeh about all sins? Vaktiv in the famous midot of Hashem, v'nakeh lo yinakeh. And how did we answer it? Can't say that God forgives as He doesn't forgive. He can't say He won't forgive because as He does forgive. He forgives those who do tshuva. So, And when it comes to Shavu and the Siyat Shem Hashem Lashav, he doesn't forgive even with tshuva. Kol Avot Shavu Torani for any menu v'chan menu mishpachto. That's another difference. Is the whole family suffers for Shavu Shav? Shavu Torah mishpachto lo. What other sins your family doesn't suffer? Aktiv sanitani ani panai v'ishahuva mishpachto. When somebody violates God's law by offering his child to Molech, it says God is going to punish the man and his family. V'tani Rav Shimon im hu chata mishpachto machatat. How did his family sin? You know what? That proves to you. Any family that has a bad tax collector, they're all like that. If they're thieves, they're all thieves. Meaning that the family has been protecting this guy and been enabling this guy. They're all kind of like that. So how is Shavuot Shav different? That's the reason, because they protect him. Hatam bedina achrina. The answer is the rest of the family suffers with a lesser, different punishment. Hacha b'dina didei. Here, the whole family gets the same punishment that he gets. Kedetana Rebbe Omer, v'chvati oto, this is about Molech, I'll cut him off, mal tanu lomar, v'shenemar v'samtina yed panai, I'm going to attack the whole family. Yachoka v'shmacha kula b'karet, I might think they all get karet, tanu lomar oto, therefore it says I'll cut him off. Otobi karet. V'lo kol mishpacha kula bi karet. All family doesn't get karet. Chavar shabatrani frayinu menu. V'chanu menu mikol ha'olam kulo. The next thing in the Braita is it said that all other sins, he himself is punished, and when it comes to Shvuat Shav, the whole world is punished. And we quoted the whole passage from Hosea. The world doesn't suffer for other sins. That in the Tocha and Bechukotai it says one man will trip over the other. And what does that mean? Ish bavonachiv. I mean one man will trip because of the other one's sin. This proves that all of Am Yisrael is responsible for each other and tied to each other. By the way, that's the makor for the very famous statement. So the answer is, that's people who could stop the other guy from sinning. He'd listen to them. They have the power to do it. They have the knowledge to do it. And they don't do it. So now, we have to assess the whole picture. What's the difference between evil people in his family and evil people in the world when he sins? And made tzaddikim mishpachto tzaddikim da'alma. And innocent people in his family, innocent people in the world. So the answer is, hu b'shavirot b'dinei, in other sins besides Shvuat Shav, he has his own punishment. Shayim de mishpacha b'din chamur, and evil people in his family get a serious, but not as serious punishment. Shayim da'alma b'din akal, and other people in the world who could have stopped him get a lighter punishment. Even lighter. Tzaddiki da'achav ha'achav tiri. Tzaddikim, in his family and outside of the family, they're pater. He did a sin. However, Gabi Shvua, when it comes to Shvua, who are Shayim de mishpacha b'dinei? He and the guilty people in his family, who enabled it or who supported it, they get the same punishment. That's his punishment. Or Shaim da Alma Bedin Chamur. Evil people in the world, they get a serious punishment. Tzadike da Hacha Vacha Bedin Akal. This is very scary. Even the innocent people in his family and even outside of his family do get Din Hakal because of his Shvuat Shav. He does affect everybody. Okay, at the end we said, Mamarni Nishpa Pochino Tomiyat. Mamar Eirin Nishpa Amdim Shamarim Zelazeh Suru Nami Alashayim Hanashim Hanashim Hashim Ha'ele. Good, so we saw that if the guy's about to take the oath, we say, everybody get out of the way. So, why is it Hanashim HaRashayim HaEla? It's one guy taking the oath. So, Bishlama Huda Kamishtaba Kai B'Isur. I understand he's maybe about to violate a very serious Isur if he's lying. Allaha Huda Kamashpale Amai, the guy who's issuing the oath, who is the claimant, why is he bad? So, the answer is Gatan Rashem Bintarfon Omer, Shvuat Adonai B'Tia Ben Shnehem. This is the in the context of a Shomer. That the oath is between the two of them. What does that mean? Malameh shechal ha-shvuah al shneihem. The shvuah really applies to both of them. And therefore, both of them are affected by the shvuah, and therefore it's anashim harishayim ha'ila. They're sort of conspiring together to a false oath, as it were. Uch shemashpino tomim la'vi yodesh lo'adatcha, etc. Lama le'mem le'hachi. Why did they have to say, you should know we're doing it al da'atenu and not al da'atcha, meaning our meaning of words? The answer, as we saw earlier, is Mishum Kanya Derava, the famous case where the fellow owed Rava some money, and he took a cane, and he put the money in the hollow of the cane, handed it to Rava, and then took an oath that he had paid, that he had given the money to Rava, and then took his cane back. And technically, he was right. So that's why we say, al da'atenu, velo al da'atcha. Okay, we'll stop here and pick it up at really what is the beginning of the analysis of the Mishnah itself, but a very, very interesting introduction to the Perek about the nature of Shvuot, and about the very strong words given to somebody who's about to take an oath. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.